Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 19th, 2023. It is 10:04 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And we are looking forward to having at 10:30 Stephen and Katrina Hittner joining us from Family Natural Foods. Right now, looking forward to this next conversation with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Testing. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How have you been?
Insane. Extremely busy. Down in Madison on the Joint Finance Committee. I got home late last night at midnight, but been up and at it, doing events in district today, so I can't complain.
I want to talk a little more about some of that, but as you just mentioned the meeting, how did that go, and what were some of the things you guys discussed?
Yeah, so this morning we got to attend a breakfast that was put on by the Stevens Point Area High School to honor our youth apprenticeships out there. And so this is an event that they've been doing for about 10 years now, and it grows every single year, and we have more employers who participate in youth apprenticeship program, which Wisconsin has been a leader on this front going back to 1991. And it's really an opportunity to give the future workforce of the state real hands-on experience and the opportunity for employers to develop that future workforce. And so what I'm always encouraged by it is the fact that every single year, more and more employers in our area are buying into this. And what really is the home run for me is that, you know, we have, competitors in the same room who are all in agreement that this is a great project. And so I'm hopeful as we work on the Department of Workforce Development's budget next week, that this is going to be a program that we can continue to make significant investments in, because the need is out there, and the results, they're a hit.
Recently, Republicans in the State Assembly presented some changes to the plan to fund local government. What do these latest updates look to accomplish?
Yeah, so we continue to have negotiations now. As I'm sure you're probably aware, based on some of the comments that have been made by the speaker, that, you know, he's of the opinion that negotiations are done. And the biggest difference that we have right now between the two houses is that the assembly is in a position where they want, as it relates specifically for the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, to have the voters pass a referendum for the ability for them to increase their sales tax. Now, I can appreciate the position that they're in. However, our concern is that if it goes to referendum, the odds of them passing it and having it be successful are slim to none. Whereas the position that we have taken is, let's give them the tools with their elected leaders at the local level, the ability to approve an increase in their sales tax, both at the city and the county level, to help with their unfunded pension liabilities and help them right the ship. And so, well, it seems that we're at a little bit of an impasse right now, I think we'll get there, because it has taken us 30 years to have a real conversation about changing the formula of shared revenue and providing more money for our local units of government, from the counties, the municipalities, to the towns. Just like every Wisconsinite and every American right now is dealing with 40-year high inflation. Well, the same can be said about our local units of government. So we want to provide more relief. I know, based on taking a look at the numbers, you know, this is going to be a huge help for places like Wisconsin Rapids, Port Edwards, our local townships. And so I'm hopeful we can get something done.
Yeah, we're not the only state to struggle with this. Other states certainly do. And I'm curious, when having these meetings, when having these conversations, are other states used as an example or to learn from?
I mean, we haven't looked. And to be honest, James, I haven't been in the room in the negotiations on the shared revenue.
Okay, I didn't want to put you on the spot there.
Yeah. No, it's all good. But this has been primarily led by, State Representative Tony Kurtz, Senator Mary Felskowski, and then having leadership in both houses, the majority leader, the speaker, the governor's office, and more importantly, representatives from the counties, the towns, the League of Municipalities, as well as the governor's office, and even the leaders in places like the city of Milwaukee and the county executive of Milwaukee. And that's why I remain optimistic, is that you have all these different stakeholders who are coming to the table to make good faith negotiations. And as I often say, you have to be willing to have a conversation and make tough decisions, and there's a give and take. Now, in the bill that the Assembly passed, is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. I think there are things in there that people would like to see added or removed, but as all things go, it is that back and forth kind of give and take. And so, again, while we kind of seem to be at a little bit of an impasse right now, my hope is that we can continue the conversations, hash out the disagreements between the two houses, and hopefully come to an end product that is going to benefit every community in the state of Wisconsin and have generational reform as it comes to shared revenue.
It certainly feels like something we've wanted to get done and need to get done, but you can't rush these kind of things. It has to. Any true negotiation is going to take some time, and both parties are going to come away not, you know, a little happy, not too happy. That's a true negotiation. If it works out the way that it should, that where it benefits not just major cities but all cities in this state.
Well, exactly. I mean, anytime I've negotiated on a bill where there may be some disagreements, I always try and get all the parties to the table. And usually we can walk out of that room and not everyone's 100% happy with the final outcome. That usually means you found a good, happy medium. And so I think this is going to be the same case with the shared revenue package.
Recently, you've got to tour the United Community Center School with the MKE City Forward Collective parent group. I appreciate when you do these kind of things. I love being able to get your perspective and what you took from that that interaction that you had. It looked like a lot of fun, I'll tell you this. It definitely looked like you had a good time.
Yeah, it was UCC, which is a charter school in inner city Milwaukee, and you know, this is obviously another topic of a conversation that kind of is a little bit roped in with the shared revenue, as it's going to relate to some negotiations going into the overall state budget. But, you know, obviously down in MPS, it's unique. We have a public system that's really struggling, but yet these charter schools are doing much better than their public peers in the Milwaukee area. And really providing these families an opportunity to have an education system that works best for their sons and daughters. And so they're doing a great job of reaching out to lawmakers all across the state to talk about, you know, the impact that they have, the positive impact. And so we actually got a chance to take a tour of the school. And what I found most impactful was after the tour, we got to have basically a town hall discussion, myself and one of my Democratic colleagues in the Assembly who represents that area, and to hear from parents directly on just how meaningful and impactful this charter school has been on their families and providing real opportunities for their kids. And so it was a really good discussion, and I'm hopeful that we can continue to have these types of interactions moving forward as we debate the state budget.
I think especially when it comes to, you know, a charter school like this or something that we're still learning a little bit more about, your interactions with this and being able to bring it to people that may not have those interactions is so much more important, that we have that transparency, that we have a little bit more of that, and it's a little clearer to people so they can hopefully, you know, care about these things a little bit more and care about our schools a little bit more. You know, we kind of started our conversation with a little of that, and I want to dive right into it. I feel like it's just sets me up perfectly for it. But I immediately think of not just our schools, but everything that connects to that. I think that it's pretty fair to say a lot of our schools are underfunded. I don't think that that's a far-fetched thing to say, or you know, drastic even for me to say. I think it's pretty common knowledge. We understand that. We're trying to help with that. But when these proposals come up on local bills and everything, the last two election cycles, we have not seen them get passed all the time. And certainly not every bill is going to be passed. But we have a concern there. And then there is the child care concern. I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you, sir, but they are connected. There is a connection with all of these. Just like if I wanted to also throw at you, you know, needing people in the workforce and more people in there and everything, that goes ties to childcare. Part of that ties to our education system. When it comes to all these things connecting, how are you able to focus on one, or do you listen to constituents mostly when it comes to, okay, I should be focusing on this more than that? Or how do you work it on your end of things?
Well, from my perspective, is trying to find that balance, because, you know, no matter what we do, or whatever we do in one area of the state budget, it's going to have a ripple effect in others. And so as it relates specific to child care, this is one that we heard all throughout the state of Wisconsin as the Joint Finance Committee went around the state to get public input on the budget process. And child care was right up there as far as issue areas, right up there with education and workforce and other important areas. And so much so that a couple of Fridays ago, I spent a day on the job at a child care facility, at UWSP. And let me tell you, I've got a much greater appreciation for what these early childhood educators do. And they are educators without a question. And I can tell you, I don't think I would have the patience to do what they do several hours a day, 5 days a week. But we do have an access problem. We have a lot of child care deserts throughout the state. And so I think this is going to be an area that, again, you're going to see us invest in throughout the state budget process. What that level of investment is going to be remains to be seen yet, because we did just get new revenue numbers on May 15th that shows that our revenues have slowed down a little bit. In fact, that $7.1 billion surplus is more like a 6.9, because the estimated revenues compared to the January the estimates that we got back in January were down by about a little over $700 million. But that being said, we're still in a pretty good financial position. And, you know, I think we all agree, Republicans and Democrats alike down in Madison, that this is a big issue. In fact, you know, when you have every major economic development group from every region of the state, their number one concern right now is child care, because when you talk about how this impacts other areas of the budget, it definitely impacts employment. We have a lot of moms and dads who are making a very difficult decision whether or not they're going to have two parents in the workforce. We've heard testimonies from individuals who, you know, mom or dad will decide they have to stay home because they can't find a center to take their kid. And so this becomes a major barrier for employment. And so, you know, obviously the governor used some one-time money that came into the state from the feds to help with child care facilities. It was roughly $340 million for the child care accounts program. You know, I think what you might see is more of a hybrid proposal. And again, we haven't flushed out all the details yet, but providing some sort of tax incentive while also trying to make sure that we're increasing access for providers and helping to increase pay for some of these individuals, because even the child care educators in these child care facilities, I think it's safe to say that they're not as well compensated as some of their peers in the K-12 education system.
Mm-hmm. When recently, Representative Nick Rettinger and the Adams County DA's office, along with the Wisconsin District Attorneys Association, brought up some legislation to strengthen Wisconsin's sexual assault statuses. I always like to make sure to mention that when it comes to this subject, I'm on the board at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. This is a subject that matters a lot to me. I have no journalistic integrity when it comes to this. It's something that I think we need to bring more attention to, and I was really happy to see this. What was in that legislation, if we can get into a little of that? And again, not trying to put you on the spot, because I know it's not your legislation, but you had brought attention to it and wanted to touch on it.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I was the Senate author on this.
You were the Senate author on it. I thought you were. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
So this was a situation that was brought to us by a prosecutor in Adams County, where unfortunately there is a loophole as it relates to sexual contact or sexual assault, where we had an incident where, and I don't want to get into the gory details over the air here, but this individual committed a sexual act and forced an individual to touch discretion. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the way the statutes are written, they couldn't charge this individual. And so we were approached by a prosecutor in Adams County who brought this to our attention and said, hey, can you work on this? We've got a proposal to tighten this to make sure that this type of contact would be deemed basically a sexual assault. And I said, absolutely. If this is a loophole, then let's absolutely close it. And that's what we aim to do with this bill. And so about 2 weeks ago, we testified in the Assembly Criminal Justice Committee. And again, very difficult subject matter to discuss, but it's a conversation that needs to be had. And so I am quite confident that we will get this bill done. I had a conversation with the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Van Wongard, and I don't foresee any issues there. I think this is going to be one that, when it comes to the Senate and the Assembly, it should pass with unanimous support.
Yeah, I 100% respect that it's awkward and it can be an uncomfortable conversation. It's supposed to be. It shouldn't be something we normalize. It shouldn't be something that we are easy to go into, but it is something that we do have to have. As you said, sir, it is a conversation we have to have. We have to have it in the open. And the more we do that, the more we can bring a lot of these cowards to light. And having bills like this that cover loopholes like that are very key to going forward. Wanted to go in a little different direction with you for a second here. And I'm going to ask you a question, but I gather that you probably can answer yes to this, considering you don't know everybody's voting status. But Senator Tested, can you be friends with somebody that doesn't vote for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know,
right.
It's funny you say that. So, I mean, last night we were in the Joint Finance Committee and we were taking up the DAC cap budget and the DNR budget. And, you know, there were moments during the debate where things kind of got heated. But, you know, two seats away from me is a good friend of mine, Senator LaTanya Johnson from Milwaukee. And, you know, we're pretty worlds apart politically. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, no matter how heated the debate gets, it never gets personal. And, you know, even after it was all said and done and the dust settled, we took our votes and we're getting ready to go home after a long night. You know, her and I, we had a nice conversation on the way out. And as I often say, when I'm out on the campaign trail, whether it's for my Senate seat or even last year going around the state, it would always crack me up when I'd be at a public event and you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what their political affiliation is. And you go up to someone and I'd introduce myself to them. And first question out of the gate would be, well, what party are you? Well, I'm a Republican. Well, we're Democrats. And I said, okay, well, if I didn't talk to Democrats, I wouldn't talk to my own parents. And that's not really an option.
Yeah,
so how about
yeah.
we start over?
I bring it up. I am going somewhere with this because recently you had the St. Paul's Lutheran School in Toma yesterday, and the school year drawing to a close. But you've had some school groups over the year visiting the Capitol and learning more about government firsthand. I remember even doing this in sixth grade. It was the first time I visited the Capitol in Madison, and it was a big game changer for me. I come from a political family, and it was something to go to a Capitol for the first time. I'd never even been to Springfield's Capitol in Illinois. It had a big impact, and I'm sure that it has a big impact on a lot of these kids. But today, it's so much more vital for have this. You and I have talked about this. Most of our representatives, we've talked about how important it is that we show that the human being behind the R and the D, and that we have. It's not to say that we can't have accountability for our representatives or our politicians. It's not to say that we can't talk negatively or anything like that. But there is just so much of it nowadays, and so much of it in. Between parties, especially, that if I'm a little kid growing up, it's going to take more than seeing the Capitol to get me to want to get into politics. And if we keep going along those lines, you and I both know what happens. All the only people that are going into politics are people that want fame, the people that want 15 seconds of fame. They're just not, they can't sing or dance or act. So this is what they go into. We have enough of that already. We have throughout our nation's history, not just recently. We've had this always in politics. We need people doing the job because it's the job. And I feel it's that much more important having these kid groups go there and seeing these things and seeing the example of that. And so I ask the senator, you know, hey, can you be friends with other people? And he tells us that he can. We need more of that and need more comments about that, talk about that, that conversation. So I appreciate that. And I'm curious, how did it go with the kids?
Oh, it's great. That wasn't the only school group. I think I probably had four or five down in the Capitol this week.
Okay.
I always try and make time when I'm in Madison when school groups come to stop down and say hi. And it's always fun when you get to, especially younger students, when they get to take them into the Senate chamber and have them sit in the chairs. And, you know, usually the first question they always ask is, we've got these red buttons that indicate when our microphones are on when we speak on the floor. And it's usually the first question, what are the red buttons for? And well, it's not going to launch a missile or anything,
yeah.
But that's just kind of walking through how the Senate operates and talk about the history of the chamber and the murals and just how the chamber is laid out and how our chamber kind of operates a little bit different from the Assembly. But, you know, it's fun to see them walk in, because especially too when they get into the rotunda, I always ask, how many of you is this your first time in the state capitol? And when we're right dead center in the rotunda, you know, usually half the hands go up. And I always tell them, I'm going to tell you what the best view in the Capitol is right here, and just have them look up and have them, you know, turn their heads up and look straight up at the dome. And I mean, it's just a lot of fun.
Recently, you spent one of your on the jobs at the UWSP Children's Center. How did that go? How did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah, it was great. Like I said earlier, it gave me a newfound appreciation for what these early childhood educators do, because it is not easy wrangling an entire classroom full of 4 and 5 year olds who are running around all over the place and trying to get them to focus and pay attention. And so, again, it impressed upon me just how important these facilities are and the great work that these educators do. And so I'm hoping we can provide some additional support for them in this budget.
It's also helpful when you can get, like, you can hear from constituents, you can talk about these things in a room or what have you, but once you're actually on their field, on their, you know, kind of home court, if you will, you're able to really get an idea of what all this entails. And I'm with you. I couldn't do it. I love kids, but there's no way I could do that job. There's no way. I appreciate and respect so much what they do.
Oh, absolutely. Same here. After 5 hours of crazy kids running around and screaming all over the place, I walked out of there. I had to go home and just decompress for an hour.
Man, I have a hard time with my own kids, and they're in their 20s. Like, it's even hard then. So I can't, you know, at that level, yeah, more power to them, and very much appreciate them. And as we wrap up here, I do want to talk about appreciation. May is Military Appreciation Month, because it holds a lot of anniversaries in this month and everything. And there's no question here. I just wanted to bring attention to it and touch on it once. I know it's an important thing to you as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Military Appreciation Month, you know, we thank and honor the men and women who step up to serve our country, and not just those who are in the service right now, but those who have served, and also their families, because May is also Military Appreciation Month for children. And so I think that's one aspect that oftentimes gets overlooked, because for our families who are involved in the military, it oftentimes means you got to pack up and move at a moment's notice. And sometimes that means relocating your entire family and taking your kids away from their friends and having to set up roots in a new community that they're not familiar with. And so it is a tremendous strain, but, you know, it's an opportunity for us to thank them for their service. And even though we dedicate this month for military service, let's just remember that every month we should be thankful for those who step up to ensure that we have the freedoms that we hold so dear today.
And I imagine that that what also not lost on you and your colleagues, that we, you know, we have plenty of veterans currently enlisted that are our current soldiers and veterans that could always use help and always need attention. So I imagine you and your colleagues are working on that as well.
Yeah, we are. In fact, next week we take up the Department of Veterans Affairs and Department of Military Affairs, both of which I'm the point person on the Senate side. So as we speak, if my staff and I, after I get off this, we're going to be on a conference call as we kind of craft their state budget and hopefully get that approved next week in the Finance Committee.
Looking forward to talking about that the next time we get together next month. Always appreciate the time, sir. Have a great weekend.
As well, James.
And we'll talk with Senator Teston again next month. A big thank you, of course, again to Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston for joining us. More Morning Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.